I want to talk to you today about, we're continuing our series on breakthrough. And I certainly could not do a series on breakthrough. Hey guys, I couldn't do a series on breakthrough that I didn't talk to you about something very, very important. I don't know, that doesn't help me. Great, thank you. I couldn't do a series on breakthrough that I didn't talk about this very, very important reality. And I don't know what your background is, but to be honest with you, I think sometimes our backgrounds can hinder us from walking in the blessing that God has for us. How many know, growing up, you probably learned some wonderful things. How many learned some wonderful things growing up? But how many recognize you probably learned also some not so wonderful things growing up? How many would confess that's true too? So when we come to church, we've got to allow the Word of God to wash our minds, the Bible says, and wash our minds from wrong thinking. And it's sad, but in this subject, and I just want to be open and honest with you, in this subject, there's a lot of people who, even Christian people, who don't believe in speaking in tongues. And maybe you've heard some negative things about speaking in tongues. When I was growing up, I remember going to, we would always go on vacation. My dad would take 3 weeks in July. We would always go on vacation, and in vacation, we would visit other churches. And I remember going to a Nazarene church, and at the end of the service, they were speaking, and it was kind of some kind of stuff. It's like, what are they doing? And I remember in the car on the way home, my mom said, and I heard my dad say the same thing, well, that's speaking in tongues. And then I remember, because I read my Bible, I remember thinking, yeah, that's in the Bible, huh? And you know what? And my parents said, yeah, it's in the Bible, but, wow. How many know that's craziness right there? It's in the Bible, but. She said, or they said, it's in the Bible, but, you know what? But we don't do it in our church, because people get all kinds of confused, and it brings all kinds of division in the church, and yada, yada, yada. How many ever have a washing machine that overflows? How many ever had a toilet that overflows? One time in our house, our toilet overflowed, and I just unscrewed those bolts and threw all the toilets out. You know what I mean? That's it. Getting rid of these toilets. They're stupid toilets. I'm getting rid. Hey, how many know toilets? This is deep. This is spiritually deep. How many know toilets are a good thing? See how ridiculous it is to just because you got some confusion, how ridiculous, just because the toilet overflows, how ridiculous it would be to just get rid of the toilet. Here, why don't you get a plunger? That would be a smarter idea, right? Is that not right? Here's what I'm saying. When Paul saw a church that spoke in tongues that were in some areas out of order, he never told them, guys, I don't want you to speak in tongues anymore. I don't want you to prophesy. I don't want you to do any of that. Here's what he did. He went and he started teaching them on how to accurately and spiritually function in the speaking of tongues. So here's what I'm telling you. I don't care what you've heard in the past. Maybe you've heard some negative things. Do me a favor. Listen to what I'm saying and listen and pay attention. I'll have all the scriptures on the screen. Pay attention to the scriptures that I have. They're all coming out of the Word of God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And keep an open mind, not for anything, but for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And know this, I'm just telling you. And I say this as a frame of confidence that you could, you know what, recognize. I mean, how many know theologically, you know what, your pastor is right on?
Oh, come on,
yeah.
Right on.
Oh, let me try another time. How many know theologically your pastor is right on? Wow, I got more amens on that side than this side. It's okay. You'll get another chance, trust me.
Amen.
Yeah, you guys will get a chance too. Amen. I get you. Okay, let's just try it together. How many know your pastor theologically is right on?
Amen.
That's better. Okay. Next time, do that the first time, okay? All I'm saying is, you know what? I pray in tongues every single day. And I don't pray in tongues because I went to a 4-square Bible college. I don't pray in tongues because, you know what, when I was a surf cat, you know, in Newport Beach, I went to a 4-square church in Costa Mesa, Mesa Bible Chapel. That's not why. I pray in tongues because right out here underneath, you know what, well, I was going to say underneath this tree, but the tree died, so we cut it down. But underneath, you know what, a tree out there, you know what, when I was 16 years old, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I started speaking in this language that I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Okay, so I want to share this with you today. How many ready to receive today?
Amen.
It is imperative, if you want a breakthrough, here, this is, you want a breakthrough? Allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of your tongue.
Amen.
It's not one of my points, but it is a point. You want a breakthrough? Allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of your tongue. It's absolutely critical. Because your tongue is going to lead you in the right direction, and your tongue is going to lead you in the wrong direction. So, and it's one of the reasons why I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it's one of the reasons why Satan has fought this with everything he can. Well, you know, you say, yeah, but most of the churches in Pico Rivera, the pastors don't believe that. I don't care. Man, that was a little Scooby-Dooby in there. Did you hear that? I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. What makes a difference to me is what the Word of God teaches. Amen?
Amen.
That's the difference to me. So, let me give you a short history real quick. In the late 1800s, for years and years and years, you know what, there was a great deadness of spiritual reality in the whole world. But in about the 1800s, mid-1800s, late 1800s, there started to be a stirring of God on this earth. And the Baptists and the Methodists, you know what, started doing crusades, outdoor crusades. And thank God for their willingness to expand the kingdom. Listen, you say, Pastor, I don't understand why you want to do that outdoor thing. That's going to be a lot of money. You know what? Here's what I say to a lot of money. To a lot of money.
Oh, there it
is. Amen. I'm serious. We need to have that same attitude. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
With that kind of attitude, let me tell you what I just can't not tolerate that attitude at all. And I'm not talking about being a bad steward. But I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we need to move, and we need not to allow money to talk us out of God's idea. Amen. Aren't you glad that in 1959, a bunch of Christian people, it wasn't even a bunch of Christian people, a few Christian people spent $100,000 to build our North Sanctuary and to buy this property that we enjoy. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad they didn't say $100,000? How many know $100,000 in 1959 was a slew of a lot of money? Aren't you glad they didn't say that? So outreach is important, and thank God they were reaching out, but they were doing it with not a lot of effectiveness. They weren't seeing a lot of people getting saved. They weren't seeing a lot of conversions. They just weren't seeing a lot of fruit from it. But they were trying. In 1865, our Civil War ended. And in the ending of that Civil War, there was incredible, in America now, there was incredible heartache. Do you know in that war that more people died, more Americans died, than in every single war that we've had put together? Wow. I mean, the carnage was incredible. And the aftermath of the war was long-lasting. How many know when you get in trouble? You have a tendency. How many are like this? When you get in trouble, you have a tendency to turn to God. Come on. And so our nation was in trouble, and they had this tendency to turn to God, and they started turning to God. About that same time, in Wales, there was a small Bible study, a small church, and in the youth group, you can say amen to this. In the youth group, there was a young lady, and she gave a testimony. And her testimony was real simple. She just said, I want God in my life, and I want him to be real in my life. And from that simple testimony, the kids just started worshiping God. And the adults went on over to pick up the kids, and they started entering into this worship service. And even though in Wales they had small churches, the Spirit started moving, and God started moving in a radical way, and the churches started filling up. Later on, in Southern California, in Los Angeles, there were some small African-American churches that were praying for the move of God. And they got a hold of a pamphlet about the movement of the Holy Spirit and what had taken place in Wales. So you have to understand this. Until that time, you know what? They were, the predominant church was selling pews. You couldn't come into church and sit down unless you had bought a pew. And that was typical. That's just what you did. That's what people did. How many know this is not open? How many know the Holy Spirit doesn't move in a church like that? And William Seymour came out and he preached in one of these small little churches. Wasn't even a church, really, just this little gathering. And then from that time, they were able to go to it used to be just a place where kind of like a feeding place where they would feed animals and sell grain and stuff. But some missionaries had taken that over, and then he started preaching there. And they started having services there. And they didn't have big old fancy, you know, organ or piano or pews or seats or fancy light. They didn't have any of that. You know what? Matter of fact, they just had these cement you know what, posts kind of thing, and they just put a board on it, and that was the pews. See, can I tell you what? Here's what I sensed this morning. And I'm not against, you know what, lights and having a nice piano or an organ or I'm not against any of that. It's not whether you have that or not have that. It's, are you hungry for God? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Are you hungry for God?
Yes.
And these people were hungry for God. And the Holy Spirit started just moving in a radical way. Listen to me. Notice this. They were hungry for God. The Holy Spirit started moving in a radical way. Amen. That sequence is really important, because what we have a tendency to do is we're thinking, well, as soon as the revival comes, I'll be part of it. And what I hear God saying to us is, you be part of it and you watch me show up.
Yeah.
Amen? And I don't mind encouraging you. I'm not negative, but how many enjoyed the second way we sang offering versus the first way we sang offering? Amen? And when I'm saying, you know, I'm not being negative, I'm just teaching you something. Somebody want to learn something today? Here's what God wants you to do, okay? I don't know. Can they hear me if I go outside, you think? Yes. Okay, I'm just going to pretend they can hear. I'm going to go outside this way. Can you keep this open for me? Okay. When you are out here, see, here is when you need to start preparing, coming into the courts. See, in the Hebrew, they have these outer courts, and God wanted them to come in before they were even in the door. Could you hear me when I was out there?
Yeah.
Starting for you, watch this, for you to prepare your hearts for worship,
Amen.
For praising God. So you know what? So let me give you a for instance. So you're out here. You're way out here. You guys can go in.
Are we a part of this?
Yeah. You're absolutely. So okay. Can you hear me? Can in and you're thinking, man, I can't wait. 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 Whoa! No, you do it again, and you do it next time you show up to church. Amen? And matter of fact, here's the thing. I know Tony, that's how he comes in to church. He is anticipating. There's got to be this anticipation. God is going to do a mighty thing. God is going to do a mighty thing. We're coming in. I get to praise God with, you know what, with Pastor Paul and with Tony and, you know what, and with all my friends, all my Christian brothers and sisters. Whoa, it's going to be good. Whoa, it's going to be good. Whoa, it's going to be good. See, you're coming in. You're coming in. You're preparing yourself. I don't mind pumping you up. But if you start off at a, how many know I'm going to pump you up either way? But if you come in at an 8, then I can pump you up to a 12. If you come at a 3, you know what? And listen, notice sometimes you come in and you're at a 3, I can only pump you up to a 3.5. Does this make sense? So all I'm saying is there was this stirring, but the outpouring of the Spirit came from people who were quick to be stirred up, who were hungry for God. Does this make sense? And so what happened is they had this great outpouring of the Spirit, and people started to speak in this language that they weren't used to, that they didn't know. It wasn't Spanish, it wasn't English, it wasn't French, it wasn't Portuguese. It was what the Bible calls a heavenly language. And it was awesome. And from that, from Los Angeles, it reached out to where now there's all kinds of people who understand and they're walking in the reality of what, listen to me very carefully, of what God intended to never stop from the book of Acts. And let me tell you what, you get out your Bible and read. You'll never find where God said, no, this is just for a certain time. That's absolutely ridiculous. And you can't find it in the Bible. You can hear it on the radio, and you can go to churches, and they'll talk about this craziness. You know what? About how, you know what? That was only for the apostles. You mean? But you just can't find anywhere where God said that. That is them adding to what the Word of God says. And when you add to what the Word of God says, you're going to be in trouble. Amen? Well, Pastor, I just think, you know what? I heard one guy say this. One guy said this. You know what? Well, Pastor, I think we just need to stick with Jesus. Well, we need to stick with Jesus. And Jesus prophetically. How many believe Jesus was prophetic? And Jesus, if anyone was prophetic, it was Jesus. And Jesus said, those who believe will speak with new tongues. All right. So, quickly, my first point. You guys ready for my first point? My first point is this. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. We should desire it. How many would like to be on Bill Gates' Christmas list? Come on, how many would like to be on Bill Gates' Christmas list? How many know the gifts of the Holy Spirit are better than any gift that Bill Gates could give you?
Oh, there it is. Amen.
And so we need to desire it. Couple passages real quick I want to go over because I want you to see, you know what Paul says. Paul says this, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Paul says, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Everybody say all. Now let me tell you what. Paul is not I don't know what the word is. He's not a crazy man. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but you can't. Paul's not saying that. Paul is saying the same thing I'm wishing. I'm wishing everyone in this section would speak in tongues. Here's why. Because I know what it'll do for your life. I wish everybody in this center section would speak into every single one of you. Because I know what it would do. I wish everyone in this section would speak in tongues. And not only speak in tongues today, but do it every single day. Because I know what it would do for your spiritual walk. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Look at what he says in verse 18 of chapter 14. I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. How many believe Paul was a spiritual giant? Well, let me make the correlation. He was a spiritual giant, not coincidentally. He was on a spiritual giant because he was purposeful. And he used this gift a lot. Everybody say it like a Frenchman. Say it. A lot. Everybody say it. A lot. Watch this passage. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. It doesn't say forbid. It says do not forbid to speak in tongues. Somebody say tongues is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Don't forbid anybody. When people speak in, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. If I pray, why do people get tripped up? Well, here's one reason. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. We'll touch on that in a minute. But my understanding is unfruitful. One version says, my mind is unfruitful. How many of the kind of person you don't want to be told what to do unless you're told why we're doing it? How many of that way? Come on, be honest. How many of that way? You know what? You want to know, you don't want to just be told, you want to know why. And so it's this, you know what that is? And I'm not saying that's a bad trait necessarily. What I'm saying is that sometimes can really hurt us in the things of God. Because God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. And we always want to know what's going on. Well, how are we doing? We want to know all this stuff. And so when the Bible says, when you speak in a tongue, your spirit prays, we'll talk about that in a minute, but your understanding is unfruitful. You don't know what's going on. Sometimes we'll get in the car and Tamara will have errands. We're going to run errands. And you know what? Running errands is one thing, but I like to know what we're going to do. You know, why do you want to know? I don't know. I'm just that way. Because to be honest with you, I'm a Tamara. What did I used to do? What was one of my professions that I talked about doing all the time? Woo-hoo-hoo! I was a pizza delivery for stuffed pizza, and she knows that because I tell her that all the time. I used to deliver pizzas. I used to deliver pizzas. So, you know what? I like to be organized in my driving. I like to know, okay, we're going there. I'm going to go there first. Then I'm going to go there. Then I'm going to be on the left side. Then I'm going to go here. Then I'm going to come around here. And then I'm going to go there. I like to be efficient in my driving. So I don't, you know what? Just tell me where we're going first. And sometimes you say, well, what is making a difference? Oh, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Just tell me where we're going. I want to know. Okay. That's how we are in the spiritual realm sometimes. Or that's how we live our life. And this trips us up. So imagine doing something. Imagine. You say, Pastor, what did you say? Here, this is deep. Are you ready? This is deep. What did you say? Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, I could pray that way for a long time. Why would you do that? Because what I'll show you later, the Bible says when you pray, you're building yourself up. See, some of you need a breakthrough in your life. And the problem is, I'm smiling, right? I'm about to say something a little harsh, but I don't mean harsh. The problem is, the reason why you can't break through is because you're too carnal. Okay. Raise your hand if you've ever been carnal before, okay? Okay. If your hand's not up, you're lying and you are carnal because lying's being carnal, okay? We've all been carnal before. So when I do that, I am building myself up. I'm getting off my carnality and into my spirituality. I'm getting, how many are old enough to remember when they used to have this? Now they have this button and it just goes to the radio, whatever. But they used to have this thing, you know, if you're young, I'm teaching you something, you know, Google, it's really funny. You know what? They used to have this dial. And you would dial it over. It would go like this thing would go over. You dial it this way or dial it that way. And sometimes, come on, how many remember this? And sometimes you'd be in a station and it would be like, and then you move it back and you're gonna, got it. How many remember that? Okay.
Ora babagisha maha mama. Imbaho babakisha butter the gisha more rabagisha butter.
What am I doing?
I'm tapping into the spiritual realm that is out there for anyone who will tap into it. This is why the apostle said, let me tell you what I do. I don't pray in tongues a little bit. I pray in tongues more than you all. That's why he says, don't, whoa. How many know Paul knew there was religious people who do not like when you tap into the spiritual? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated God. One of the reasons they hated him, because more people were going to him than them. Amen? But when that happens, because we're so intellectual, you know what? And the intellectuals are, no. You know what? They're fighting because it doesn't make any sense to them. Well, you tell me how much sense, you know what? I mean, how many miracles in God make no sense in the Bible? If you're going to get rid of all the logical stuff in the Word, you're going to get rid of almost the whole Bible. Most of the miracles, supernatural stuff. Jesus makes a mud pie, puts it on the guy's face, and then tells him to wash it off. Well, why'd you put it on if you want me to wash it off? Does it make any sense? You know, tells a guy to build a boat. There's no at that point, hadn't even been any rain yet. I mean, all this stuff. I can tell you story after story after story. God starts speaking to Moses in a burning bush, and it's not burning. It's on fire, but it's not burning. Not consumed. Oh, I could go on and on and on. When the Holy Spirit, you know what? When these, again, watch this. They're obedient, then God moves. Jesus says, don't leave. You stay here. Something's going to happen. And for the ones that did it, God moved. And all of them, everyone, all 120 in the upper room, they all spoke with tongues. Don't tell me the tongues isn't for everyone. It's just not true. You say, yeah, but I thought the Bible said, you know what, to one's given this and one's given that and one's given that. Listen, I've heard pastors and they stand up and say, praise the Lord, I haven't been given the gift of tongues, but I've been given the gift of teaching. And don't say nice. And they say, you know, people say, oh, hallelujah. You know what people say in the audience? They say, me too. I don't have it either. And a bad exegete of that passage. In that passage, he's talking about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit given in a service. That's what he's talking about. And you know why this makes so much sense? Because Jesus says, everyone who asks receives. You say, yeah, but it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. I heard one guy teaching one time, and he said, what was that guy? He gets all upset. He says, you know what? You don't know your Bible.
Oh, there it is. Come on. Amen.
I'm not saying that to you. I'm telling you what that preacher said to that congregation. I'm not saying that to you. But Jesus said, anyone who asks receives. And in Luke, you know what he says specifically? He says, you know what? He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Are you getting something today? My second point. The building up of your spirit is everything. That's why Satan has fought the speaking of tongues for so long. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh.
See, you ever done something and you're like, after you did it, or many times, have you ever said something after you said it, you're like, I can't believe I said that. You ever did something and after you did it, you're like, I can't believe I did that. Amen. Hey, you know what's a, you know why is it, young people, you know why it's a good, real good reason not to have sex before you get married? It's deep. Are you ready? Because if you don't have sex before you get married, you never can get anybody pregnant. Oh, that's so deep. Oh, that's so deep. And listen, and you won't get pregnant. Amen? You know, I could wipe out poverty in America almost completely. You know what? If I could just get people to do one thing. You know what it is? Don't have kids until you get married. Listen, this might not be politically correct. I'm just telling you factually correct. We could wipe out, you know what? Here these people will say, oh my goodness. We could wipe it out. What happens? We get too carnal and we don't get spiritual enough. See, if we walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many would like not to fulfill the lust of the flesh? How many have been live enough to recognize your flesh gets you in trouble? How many would like not to fulfill the lust? Well, here's what we have to do. See, that's why Satan has fought this so bad. Because he doesn't want you, watch this. If we can get a hold of your tongue, we got a hold of your whole body. Amen? How many know where your body, this is a silly illustration, but how many know where your body follows? The end of your tongue goes, your body gonna go. It's gonna go that way. It's a silly illustration, but how many got that? Wherever your body goes, wherever your tongue goes, that's how where your body's going to go. Look at this. Look at this. James. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's perfect. He's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. See, here's what God wants to get a hold of. How many know God wants to get a hold of your body? And how many know the Holy Spirit wants to get a hold of your tongue? Because if you can get a hold of your tongue, you know what? If you will start praying, well, what does the Bible say? Do we know how to pray? Guys in the back, go there with me. I think it's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Are you guys learning something? Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 26, I think. Yeah. Look at this. Right in the middle it says, for we do not know what we should pray, for as we ought. You know, listen, this is really uplifting. You guys don't know how to pray. And how do you know that? Well, you know what? The writer of Romans thinks you don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. But watch this. Look at the whole verse. You see this? For we do not know how we should pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray. Watch this. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps us in our weakness. See, if you're spiritual, you won't be carnal. If you're spiritually built up, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what happens? The Spirit's going to help you in your weakness. Watch this. For we do not know, you know, how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You say, yeah, but Pastor, that's talking about the Holy Spirit praying for us. That's what it says. This is deep. Where does the Holy Spirit live? See, when I'm praying, you know what? You say, Pastor, you know what? But where's that interpretation? I'm not talking about a tongue and interpretation. Is that appropriate? It absolutely is. But it's also appropriate. The Bible says there's a heavenly language. It's called your prayer language that God gives every single believer to pray. And when he prays, he's speaking through you, your spirit, that's him inside you, and he's using you, and now he's got, watch this, he's got a submitted vessel on this earth that now, watch this, is praying the perfect will of God. Pastor, what do you do in the morning? I pray the perfect will of God. I do the perfect will of God. So, Pastor, what... Are you telling me not to pray in English anymore? I'm not saying that. Here, I'll just find it in my Bible. I'm not saying that. Here's what I am saying. I wish you all spoke in tongues, even more that you would prophesy. For he who prophesies, not it. First Corinthians 14:15 says this. What's the conclusion then? I will pray with my spirit, with the spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing in the spirit, and I also sing with my understanding. What does God want you to do? Does he want you never to pray in English or Spanish? No. Pray that way. But you know where, but I'm also going to pray in the spirit. I don't understand it, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to use that, and here's what it's going to do. It's going to build me up, and I'm going to pray perfectly. How many would like to do anything perfectly? How many would like to pray perfectly? Perfect. What'd you say? I don't know. Doesn't make any difference. I'm going to use my time. If I'm going to get up an hour early and pray, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Now I'm praying perfectly, and I'm building myself up. I'm tuning myself to the spiritual realm. I don't understand all that. That's why people have such a hard time doing it. But can I tell you what? Watch this. How many of you speak in tongues? Raise your hand real high if you speak in tongues. See? And if your hand's not up, I'm not condemning you in any way. I'm just saying, listen, there's a bunch of people who pray in tongues. They're all around you. And they're not weird. Well, maybe a little, but you know what I mean. Right? Okay. Here's what we're going to do because of time. Because of time, Isaac, come on up here, or Angel, come on up here, or somebody who knows how to play piano, come on up here. And if you would like to receive the Holy Spirit in a way that maybe you've never experienced him before, okay, I'm just going to say, receive the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to start to pray in tongues, and I might start singing in tongues, because Paul said, I'll sing in the Spirit, and I'll sing with my understanding. And for those of you who pray in tongues, you just follow me, okay? But those of you who, how many know the Bible says, anyone who asks receives. Today can be your day. And when you start saying these syllables that you don't understand what they are, you know when Satan comes, he comes immediately, the Bible says, to steal, what is sown in your heart. I'm telling you, he'll come and he'll say, you are a dork. What does that mean? You are an idiot. You know what he is? I'm going to call you an idiot. Let me call him what he is. He is a liar. He is a liar. So let's all stand up to our feet. This is, listen, you say, Pastor, I still don't believe all that. I don't want to do that, blah, blah, blah. Then that's not for you. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it's your choice. But if you say, Pastor, I want to receive that gift. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be able to pray perfectly every day. If that's you, I'm going to raise your hand. And look at me. Look at me. We're going to pray all over. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And you know what? And I'm going to start praying in English first. And then I'm going to start praying in tongues. And you're going to start praying with me in tongues. Because I am not the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Let's just start praising. Everybody, start praising God in English. Thank you, God. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you. Oh, you're an awesome God. A little louder. Thank you, God. Oh, we thank you, God. Oh, we thank you, God. Oh, you're a good God. You're a good God. You are a good God. Right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, he's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Baptize these who have their hands up and want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit right now in the power of Jesus. Oh, rabagisha borhan. Esha barabagisha borhan. Go ahead, start speaking in tongues. It's right there. You do it. It's on your lips. Oh, rabagisha borhan. E rababagisha boram. E rababagisha boran. O rababagisha borha daregisha borhan. E shabarabagisha boram. E shabarabagisha boram. E shaborhababagisha boram. All right, stop, 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 stop. Okay. I want you to understand. You said, Pastor, but when can I do this? Well, let me ask you this. When can you pray in English? Sometimes you don't pray in English because you're too busy, you know what? Listening to play that funky music white boy, amen? And you got to turn off the radio, amen? Turn off the radio, turn off the trash, and just start to thank God, Father. I mean, great thing, just start thanking God for all his gifts. You say, Pastor, I'm so depressed, I'm so upset, I'm so angry, I'm so... Turn off the radio and start to thank God. Amen. You can't get upset. Show me somebody who says, starts spending time thanking God for all his gifts. Man, you'll get out of your car laughing hilariously. Change your attitude right away. Pastor, when can I pray in tongues? You can pray in tongues the same way. I pray in tongues every morning. When do you do that? I get up early in the morning. I start praying in tongues. I spend a significant amount of time praying in tongues. So you can do it. Why did I stop you? Because I want you to understand. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be under, you know what I mean? Oh, it was so awesome. I prayed in tongues once. It was 1958, and I was in junior high, and it was at, you know, Camp Cedar Crest, and it was awesome. Well, you haven't prayed in tongues since? No, pray in tongues. Those of you who raise your hand, say you pray in tongues. Use your heavenly language every single day. Okay, we're going to do it again. I want you to understand, those of you. How many received? How many heard syllables coming out? Raise your hand. Let me see. Let me see. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. You say, yeah, Pastor, I didn't hear it. Just, you know what? Don't worry about it. You just step out in faith. Step out in faith. God wants you. Come on. You got to come up here. I hope I'm not embarrassing you. You know what? Scott has a word for you. I want to just stand. Just right here. Just stand. God just wants to let you know he's pleased with you. And not everything is all straightened out. Not everything is all perfect. but things are more perfect than they've ever been. And it's not because you're in a good season. It's not coincidentally. It's not just, you're just, it doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with decisions that you've made to choose God and even to come back to God in a greater way. And he's saying that he will continue to bless your girls. He'll continue to bless you. He says, stay strong. Don't get off track. Don't allow anything to, any glitter over here or over here to get your eyes focused off that, because he wants you staying where you're at. And in the next year, he's gonna promote you, and he's gonna continue to bless you. But he says, I'm pleased, and don't think you're in that coincidentally. You're in that because you purposed in your heart to do what I've called you to do. And there will be further instruction. So God says, when I give that instruction, don't deviate. Just understand, I know what I'm doing, and I can direct your path, but allow me to direct your path, and you will see what I have for you, says the Lord. You receive that? Father, I thank you for my friend. I thank you for what you're doing in his life and your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. All right, now we're going to go back to where we were. You know what? Let's start praying in tongues. Everyone, everyone. Oh, Ramamageshebo. Oh, Ramama. See, I can sing in a tongue too. Oh, Ramamageshebo. Sherababageshebo. Shirabagishibo. Go ahead, raise up your hands. Oh, Ramamagishibo, Ramamagishibo. Shibo, Ramamagishibo. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Listen, I like to keep on going, but we got a whole nother crop in. We got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, allow. Listen, this is really important. Understand where our church is going and allow yourself to care about that 11 o'clock service coming in too. Does that make sense? Don't go, oh, pastor's not very spiritual. He ended it. No, no, no. How many know it is spiritual to care about other people? Okay. So, and Tamara and I are so proud of you. So proud of you. And for those of you, maybe you asked it to receive and you feel like you didn't receive. No, no, no. You received. You could be going home today and all of a sudden you're going to just start going, oh, Ramamagi, eh, Ra'aga, Ashabo, oh, Ashabo, Ramagi, Shabora. We're so proud of you. We're so proud of you. You know, there's a lot of churches. You couldn't even dare preach a message like this. They just choke on it.
I'll let you have a seat. I want to just share a couple of things with you quickly. First of all, when William Seymour came to begin to teach, you know what, concerning the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues, I just want to read to you really quickly something. Seymour immediately encountered resistance. We encounter resistance with something that is so powerful, something that is so good that God wants you to have. And so as he's beginning to teach it, he shows up at his church the second day to begin to continue the teaching, and the doors have been locked, and he's been locked out. Thank God he moved on and continue to teach. Over, because of what took place at Azusa Street, over 100,000 people came to Christ. And is still going. Do you understand that? I'm one of those. I'll never forget, and I shared this with you before, but I'll never forget, remember I had no idea what Easter was about. And I had met Pastor Drew, and we were friends, and he had, for my birthday, he was taking me to see the glory of Easter. And I remember standing outside waiting because there was show after show after show after show. And so the one show was letting out and we were the next ones going in with our tickets. And I never forget standing out there and telling him, you know what? Oh, I hate Easter. It's so stupid. Can you imagine, right? So I could see the horror on his face when I said that. And I knew immediately I had said something wrong. But we don't know what we don't know, right? And I said, what? And he said, Tamara, almost in a disbelief. Do you understand that? Like, I think he's in shock. And he said, Tamara. Actually, when I said what, when I knew something was wrong, I said, what? I love Christmas. Like, I knew right away, like, to like Christmas, you know, it's like trying to redeem myself or something, right? I said, Christmas is the best, right? And he said, no, Tamara. And I said, well, why Easter? It's so stupid. All it's about is Easter eggs and bunny. I don't understand. And he said, no, Tamara. Easter is when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That was his resurrection. And I said, really? And I no more than grasped that concept than I thought. And then I immediately felt so stupid. And I was like, whoa. And he could see that on my face. Like I could see the horror on his face. And he said, you know what, Tamara? You don't realize this, but believe me, the fact that you know nothing will be a blessing to you. And I said, really? Tell me about that. And he said, so many people are taught so wrongly concerning the things of God. And you are just like a blank sheet of paper. And so you're going to be able to receive where other people really trip over the things that have been said to them and what they have been wrongly taught. So later on comes the day when a friend of ours prayed for me to receive the baptism of spirit. And I remember sitting there in his living room as he prayed for me, and his wife was there and his kids, and I did not have the manifestation sitting there with them. But what I knew was that God's not a respecter of persons. And they said, no, you received it. You just need to get that manifestation. Because the Bible says when you pray and ask, God gives. I said, okay. So then I went to my place down in Newport Beach, and I'll never forget, I was just going to, they had given me some instruction, you know, just begin to thank God and just begin to, you know, just pray. And I said, okay. So one morning, I went to bed that night when I got home because it was super, super late. But the next morning is I just woke up and I was just spending some time with God. The Spirit of God told me, this is so stupid, but how did he do that? I don't, you know what I mean? But he said, move that desk. Now, Drew had moved out of that place and I had moved in. It's this place in Newport Beach. But he left this computer desk of his there. And the Lord said to move the desk. And so I started to scoot this desk, and I find behind this desk a little book. And I'm not saying it was this one, but we have these little books. These are $1.50. They're at the book thing. It says, The Bible Way to Receive the Holy Spirit. So I moved this desk, and trip, this thing fell, and there was a book on receiving the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the gift of tongues. And so I was excited about that. I got the book. I read the book. And then I went into this little bathroom and at my place there, and I just began to just praise God and just began in English to just praise him. And then the next thing that happened is, you know what? I was praying in tongues. Now, prior to that, I remember having a conversation with Drew one time when he was praying in tongues, and I was just learning and observing things. And I don't know what I asked him, but he said this. He says, Tamara, it's not like I'm possessed or something. I can stop it. I can start it. I can stop it. I can start it anytime I want to. I said, oh, okay. So you're in control of that. Yeah, I can pray. Here's what I want to say to everyone in the room who's going to just seek your manifestation if you haven't had it. Here's what the Bible says, that the Spirit gives us utterance. It's an uttering. Do you understand that? If I were going to explain it to someone, it's an uttering of even syllables. And I'll never forget in that bathroom as I began to pray. And immediately, then the enemy just said, listen to yourself. You sound so stupid. Listen to what you're saying. But I just pushed that off and I just kept on and kept on and kept on. Because there will be a resistance to you walking in obedience to what God has for you. And so if you try to make sense with it with your carnal mind, you're already done, right? So don't make sense of it. When the utterances come, speak them out. And no matter how much you speak them out, just continue to speak them out. See, this is all coming up from here, and I'm just saying it. I'm not thinking it. You know, if I want to say something, I think it, and then I say it. But it happens so lightning fast that we don't get that. But my spirit, here's what I'm thinking. Lord, I'm praying in tongues right now. That's about the thought I have. And then the rest, I just say whatever comes. And then you just begin to perfect that. And so, $1.50 back there. Yeah. Diane, best $1.50 ever spent. Yeah, I didn't even have to spend my $1.50. This guy left it there. I was just able to get it. But nonetheless, best gift of my life. And you know what? There's all kinds of situations where you will, you know what? What do you do when I went out with my friends one time and we were in this place. I was really uncomfortable. It was like, oh. And all of a sudden this guy started like growling at me. You know what I did? I just started praying in tongues. I mean, what do you do with that? You know what I'm saying? I was like, I don't even know what the heck, but I'm just going to pray in tongues. You know what?
It wasn't me who was growling, just a lady.
So, you know what? There's all kinds of times. One time I was teaching at this place, and all of a sudden this lady, I don't even know this lady, and she said, okay, so Pastor Tam is going to pray for all of us. And I was like, what? You know what I mean? Do I know you? Did I ask you? You know what I mean? It's like, what the heck? And so what did I do? You know what I did? I prayed in tongues. Amen. And so these women were lined up from end to end, and I just began to pray in the Spirit. It's like, I am so unprepared for this, Lord. I am, what the heck? But as I began to just pray in the Spirit, then I would begin to pray in English over this first lady. And then you know what happened? She just started to weep. Okay. And then I moved to the next lady. And you know what happened? And the same. And the same. And the next thing you know, Shayla Joel, is she here? Anyway, Shayla was just a little girl. She's, I don't know what she was, 10, 11, 12. I'm telling you, I was there. These ladies were chasing me down in the park. Were you there with me? That was crazy. It was crazy. These women are chasing me down. And I felt like, remember when the apostles said, why you look at us as if it's us? You know what I mean? Remember that? Those women had an encounter with God. Why? Because I was able to be a vessel for that. I can't even tell you the ways that it will serve you. Fight for this. Do you hear me? Fight for this. The last thing I'm going to do, and then I'm going to close, is to read to you. This is very, very interesting. Listen to this. To read the newspapers in 1906, one might have wondered about all of the excitement in the old building on Azusa Street in this industrial part of the city. According to the Los Angeles Times, this is real time. You ready for this? This really happened. According to the Los Angeles Times, a bizarre new religious sect had started with people breathing strange utterances and mouthing a creed which it would seem to be not sane nor mortal, that you couldn't even understand. Furthermore, the devotees of this weird doctrine practiced the most fanatical rites. They preached the wildest theories, and they worked themselves into a state of excitement. If that didn't grab the reader's attention, the article continued by saying, colored people and a sprinkling of white people compose this congregation, and the night is made of hideous sounds in the neighborhood of the congregation howling as the worshipers spend hours praying and swaying back and forth. Listen, don't let anyone dictate to you this in your life except your Bible. That's it. That's it. Just let your, they don't understand what they don't understand. Do you understand that? You and God, end of story. Amen? Amen.